Okay, a really fascinating nitziv that streams throughout different elements or different stages of Parshas Vayetze, and it provides a panoramic and foundational definition of Yaakov and his role. Each of the Avos, according to the nitziv, and this is an idea he develops throughout the Sefer, each of the Avos represented or lived, epitomized, a different pillar of religious identity. Remember, the Avos are forging religious identity. There are three parts of religious identity based on the famous Mishnah in Avos: Torah, studying the will of Hashem; Avodah, prayer, sacrifices, standing in front of Hashem in a ritual moment; and, of course, Gemilas Chasadim. And according to the Nitziv, each of their respective roles is borne out by the way they refer to the moment of encounter with Hashem. In Avram and Yaakov's case, it's at Har Moriah. In Yitzchak's case, it's in a field somewhere near Beersheba. Avram calls it a mountain. He visits Hashem on a mountain. Yitzchak calls it a field. Yitzchak lasuach basada. He's not near Har Moriah, although Chazal place him at Har Moriah. That's, of course, is an interesting Ramban. Is he in a field near Beersheba? Is he in a field near Har Moriah? But Yaakov is clearly at Har Moriah, and he calls it Ein Zeh Ki'im Beis Elokim V'zeh Shar HaShemayim. For Yaakov, the seeing Hashem or encountering Hashem in a house connotes the fact that Yaakov tried to introduce Gemilas Chasadim slash harmony and cooperation into a world that was very cutthroat, that was very violent, that was very deceitful, Laban's case. And for him, the image of a house represented protection, represented calm, represented embracing, represented conciliatory or conciliation. That's why Yaakov, who excels at Gemilas Chasadim, views and calls Yerushalayim Beis Elokim. He also calls the Shaar HaShemayim, which I'll get to in a moment. That's why when he defends his record to Lavan and he talks about how honest he was, it doesn't just talk about his honesty and his integrity, but how dedicated he was to the sheep, and he lived with them during the day and during the night, and he watched them. So Yaakov is not just an honest person playing in contrast to Lavan's deceit, but he's also very kind to animals and beyond the call, beyond the standard. And of course, kindness to animals very often translates into kindness to human beings, and of course vice versa. We see many people who are violent towards animals, and that quickly escalates to violence against human beings. So he's describing his treatment of the tzon is really describing his overall persona, not just how we treated those tzon. Now, this is why when Yaakov, in the end of the parsha, conducts this conciliatory meal with Lavan, who has never missed an opportunity to deceive him, never missed an opportunity to lie to him, never missed an opportunity to exploit him, and Yaakov is always bending and always is conciliatory and always is appeasing. He turns to his sons, Rashi says, Vayom Yaakov le'echav, but Rashi says he instructs not his brothers but his sons, and he asks them to gather the stones. Liktu avanim, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Mem Vav, gather the stones. If he's speaking to his sons, Rashi says, why does he call them brothers? The answer is Yaakov wanted to train them to be appeasing, calm, embracing, forgiving, tolerant. And if he instructed them to gather the stones, of course they would listen because they're his children. They'll take out the garbage, they'll go to the makolet, they'll go to the grocery. But he doesn't want to instruct them, he wants to educate them. So to educate them, they on their own have to appreciate the value of chesed, forgiveness, tolerance, honesty, all of that entire mixture of traits. So he has to empower them to take this action, not because he instructs them or imposes his will, but in order to educate them, as the Nitziv writes on this pasuk, "V'gam zehaya limud lazaro." It teaches his children l'hispayes maher l'merielem, to have generosity of spirit, not to harbor a grudge, not to maintain pride, not to sustain anger, but to be flexible and tolerant and easy to appease. So this is the Yaakov of the beginning of Vayetze, the Yaakov who envisions religion as a bias, and the Yaakov who excels in Gemilas Chasadim, and a Yaakov who's kind to animals, and a Yaakov who delivers an air of peace and calm, and even as, of course, there will be eruptions of violence and of internecine struggle and of civil war in his own family, you always sense that there's Yaakov is a calming influence. He never gets into the conflict himself. He may be unwittingly responsible for some of the conflict by favoring Yosef, but he's never a party to the conflict. Now, as an aside, the Nitziv, in the beginning of the parsha, highlights that Yaakov doesn't just call this a Beis Elokim, he calls it a Shaar HaShemayim. Now, a shaar is a little bit broader than a Beis Elokim. And a shaar as a gateway where more people can walk through and into than a bias. And then Itziv claims that this is Yaakov seeing religion because he sees it as Gemilas Chasadim, and because he sees this as more encompassing. So Yaakov wants to turn Yerushalayim not just into a bias, but into a shar, to a gateway for everyone to walk through. And that's why the Netziv says this apparition only occurs when he leaves the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, because when he was in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, he was involved exclusively in Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a national experience for Jews, not a universal experience for Gentiles. But once he leaves and he starts to excel in Gemilas Chasadim and peace and building an embracing society in a calm environment, so at that point it becomes religion that can be viewed as a shar, which is a gateway for the entire world to enter Yerushalayim. And that's why the Gemara in Pesachim quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, where the nations in the end of the days will say, "Lechu v'nalel har Hashem, let's all go up to Yerushalayim and ascend El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the mountain that Yaakov saw as a bais, El Beis Elokei Yaakov." And the Gemara in Pesachim says that the nations will not enter Yerushalayim upon the mountain that Avram deemed it, nor the field that Yitzchak described it, but Yaakov's bias. What does it make a difference to the nations of the world whether they enter Avram's Har HaMoriah, Yitzchak's Har HaMoriah, or Yaakov's Har HaMoriah? The answer is because Yaakov, through his trait of chesed, through his trait of shalom, created a shar HaShemayim, where others can enter. Now there's one other related element that Yaakov isn't just teaching us a trait, which is moral and ethical, but it's also necessary for us to survive Gullus, because Yaakov was the one who lived Gullus most on his body, set the tone for Gullus. And if we're going to survive Gullus, it can't always be through combativeness and confrontation and militancy. We have to learn how to be, as he says, Shiyu Muganim B'Shiflus. Fascinating, fascinating line. This is in Perek Chavches, Pasuk Yurtes in the Harachiv Davar, that we're going to have to learn how to be appeasing, how to create conciliation, and sometimes how to yield, and sometimes how to be shafel, how to make ourselves or accept our low station in Gullus. And that's why Yaakov receives the Shavua, or the blessings of Hashem, the guarantee of Hashem, v'hayezarecha ki'afar ha'aretz. In Gullus, you're going to have to be like afar ha'aretz and submit. So Yaakov isn't just delivering a trait, he's also delivering a roadmap for survival in a very difficult period of exile. Now, of course, this is what makes life in Eretz Yisrael so challenging, because we're learning how to balance between that masora of appeasement, conciliation, pragmatism, embracing, and the need to defend our country against hostile enemies and to have a fierce and successful army. And it's not always easy to balance those two. A very famous Gemara in Ksuvos that talks about the three shvuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made nations of the world take a shvuah, and made the Jewish people take a shvuah that we won't rebel. And of course, the Satmar Rebbe saw this as, so Zionism is a violation. And one of the answers to the Satmar Rebbe, why it's not a violation of Hashem's shvuah, is that Hashem wasn't imposing a shvuah that's halachically binding upon people. That doesn't make halachic sense that Hashem could, what does it mean for us to take, Hashem took the shvuah, we didn't take the shvuah. We're not bound by Hashem's shvuah. The answer is Hashem was creating what we would call ground rules for survival in Gullus. It's an unnatural state where the Jewish people will be hosted by foreign nations that will sometimes be hostile. So Hashem was trying to create a framework for peaceful relations, that they won't oppress us too brutally, we won't rebel all the time, it won't be a constant festering and a constant anger and rebellion. So Yaakov is providing that element that the Jewish people, in order to survive Gullus, must be flexible, submissive to their neighbors, accepting of their authority. So Yaakov is not just developing a moral trait, he's also developing a historical paradigm. So this is, of course, why the Netziv is known as such a panoramic thinker, because he's such a rationalist, and he looks at every word and just is a fascinating sefer to read. But he also develops broad, sweeping theories and doctrines to explain what our avos lived by and what happened in that great seminal sefer of Bereishis.